truth of our heart this morning. That praising Him is our story and it is our song. I'm glad, thank God, that He loved me and then showed it to me, showed me how much He loved me by dying upon the cross in my behalf, giving me life that I might know Him and the pardon of sin. Thank God my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus, and I thank God for it. Amen. I tell you, the Lord's been better to us than what we deserve. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell this morning. But I'm glad that He loved us and laid His life down for us, that we might know Him and have eternal and everlasting life. With your Bibles open this morning now to the Song of Solomon one final time, Lord willing. One final time to the Song of Solomon in chapter number 8 this morning, please. Solomon's Song and chapter number 8. And let's read verse number 14. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that portion of Scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. Thank You, Lord, for the songs that we have sang and enjoyed and how they blessed and stirred my heart today. Lord, I'm grateful for Your people. They're lifting up their voices this morning in adoration unto Thee. I pray, O God, that You will honor us this morning with Your presence. That You'd grace us today by Your presence in this place. May the wind of heaven blow through this building this morning across our souls and refresh and revive our spirits in God. I'd ask You to help me this morning to say something, Lord Jesus, that will reveal the finished work of Christ and the great love that You have for Your people. Help me, I pray, to extol Your wonderful name as I preach and magnify it. I'd ask You, my Father, to open hearts of understanding this day and do grant liberty, I pray, Father, to finish the message, to finish this book and the message that You've laid upon my heart. And then may You use it to regenerate the dead and the dying that they might know You in the free pardon of sin. And Lord, that You might bless Thy people as only God can. Again, I pray for unction upon this unworthy vessel of clay and power from God to preach, and we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated this morning. I want to read our text verse again. He said, make haste, my beloved, be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. The words of our bride, and the words of the Lord's bride, rather, the last words in the Song of Solomon, and it closes out the book. And this morning, we're going to close, Lord being our helper, one of the greatest studies I believe that I've ever done since I've been pastoring. I don't know what it's done for you, but it has helped Brother Hall a great deal. And I hope that you have received something out of it. But I want to try to preach this morning, if God will help me for a little while, on our attitude at His coming. What kind of attitude will we have? What kind of frame of mind will we be in? How will our hearts be at the Lord's coming? If you'll read through the Gospels, and especially in the book of Matthew, you'll find there are several different portions of Scripture that admonish us how we ought to behave ourselves at the coming of the Lord. And somebody said, preacher, how do you know He's coming back? Because the Bible has said that He'll come back. And I'm a Bible believer. And I do believe that the stage is set, the time is right, the hour is upon us, that the sky will part and the Son of God will make His descent into the clouds of glory to receive you and I up to meet Him in the air. And the Bible said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Bless His wonderful name. No more parting, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more temptation, no more devil. But all things will be made perfect in the presence of the Lord. And so this morning's message will close our study in the Song of Solomon. As I've already said, the bridegroom has spoken his final words in verse number 13 and has ascended back to the right hand of the Father. He has finished the work that he was sent to do. Sin, death, and the grave have all been conquered. And I want to say thanks be unto God for that. That he finished the work that God sent him here to do. He came to conquer sin. He came to overcome death and lead it captive. He came, my friend, that he might overcome the power of the grave. And having done that, he ascended back to the right hand of God the Father. And our salvation has been paid for, and the promise of redemption stands sure in the mind of God. I heard a preacher preach on time on what do I need to do to be to go to hell. I won't say you don't have to do anything. A man is condemned already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. All you have to do, friend, to go to hell is live in this world and die in this world without Christ, and you will accomplish that. But I'm glad that through him and his work, that salvation has been provided for us, and that the promise of redemption standeth sure. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean the promise of redemption? The fact that our bodies, if they go to the grave, will get up out of that grave incorruptible. Our bodies are paid for. When he paid the debt, friend, he didn't just pay for our soul and spirit. He paid for us lock, stock, and barrel. We are going to heaven in a glorified body because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody said, preacher, what paid that redemption price? I'm glad you asked. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And by the way, they may take the blood out of the songbooks, and some of the liberal Methodists and Southern Baptists and others may take the blood out of their preaching, but you'll never take the blood out of salvation. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I'm glad he shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And I believe what we see in verse 14 is the attitude of the heart of those who stood gazing into the heavens as our Lord by a cloud was received out of their sight. The Bible said in Acts 1, 10 and 11, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not another one, but this same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And friend, I believe our verse this morning is the attitude of the bride of Christ at his return. Make haste, O my beloved. Make haste. In other words, hurry back. I know you've got a job to do yonder, but hurry back. I know you're going to prepare a place for us, but hurry back. I do not want to live one minute at a time without you, friend. That ought to be our heart's cry this morning, is desiring the presence of Almighty God, not only in the church, but every day in our life. I want to walk with Him and talk with Him and call Him my own. I want to have fellowship with Him and communion with Him. I want to look upon His smiling face and hear His sweet voice as He utters words of holiness, righteousness, love, and mercy to my soul. Bless in my heart by His holy word. I want to say, if you're not excited about Him coming back, you might ought to come on down to the altar this morning and settle some things. Somebody said, well, wait a little longer. Please, Jesus. Why? Till I get my loved ones in. I thought salvation was of the Lord. Amen. We better pray for them and love them, but I'm going to tell you, the getting in is going to be His part. Amen. And He's never made a mistake. I want to be like John on the aisle. John didn't say, even so come, Lord Jesus, after I do what I want to do. He said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, our attitude. Make haste. Make haste, my beloved. Be as to a young roe or a hart upon the mountains of spices. In other words, come on back to this place that you have left for a short while. Now, I want to say, my friend, on the authority of the Bible, ready or not, He's coming back. Whether you're prepared to meet God or not, son, He's coming back. And I'll say, if you're not prepared, now is the time to prepare your heart to meet God, for the eastern sky is about to part and the Son of God is about to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead shall get up out of the graves incorruptible. You and I, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up in the clouds to meet Him in the air. Somebody said, what's going to happen, preacher? That's corruptible shall put on incorruption. That's mortal shall put on immortality. And death shall be swallowed up into life. Hallelujah. This old body may be sown in weakness, but it'll be raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it'll be raised a spiritual body. Somebody said, do you believe that? Yeah, I believe it. Better know I believe it. And if you don't, you're a dunce. That's right. And I wonder by a lot of folks' attitude if they really believe it. By your attitude, you either don't believe it or you don't know your beloved. Son, our attitude ought to be, come, Lord Jesus. Amen to God. The cry of their heart was, make haste, my beloved. And be thou like to a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. As John wrote while exiled on Patmos in Revelation 22:20, he that testifieth these things saith, surely, the Lord said, surely, I come quickly. That's the Lord saying that. Surely I come quickly. I'm telling you, it'll be like a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Surely I come quickly. And John heard those words and it vibrated the chords of his heart and soul. And he said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. If you're coming quickly, but even so, come, Lord Jesus, even today. It wouldn't break my heart, friend, if He come right now and sounded the trumpet for you and I to depart from this mess that we're living in. I'm sick of the society that I'm living in. Amen. Somebody said, who are you sick of, sinners? No, backslidden Baptists. Amen. Sinners are just being what sinners are. Lost, just like you'd be acting if you was lost. I tell you what troubles me more than anything. It is the cold, callous heart of those that name the name of Christ, but they shall not be moved by the Spirit of God. That's what bothers me, friend. The attitude of most Baptists is what bothers me. The fact is, He's coming. But I wonder if our desire for His return is as ardent as the bride's here in verse 14. What will be our attitude? What is the condition of our spiritual life right now? And our condition. I want to say, friend, that His coming, if we're going to be right with God, we need to be prepared in our heart to meet Him. Somebody said, oh, I'm saved. I didn't ask you if you were saved. I asked you if you was prepared in your heart to meet the Lord. I'm afraid some folks are going to meet Him ashamed and disgraced at much of how we have lived in the presence of the Lord.
I want to show you how folks can get, friend, Matthew 25. The Bible said that there the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. The Bible said that the wise took oil and took lamps and took oil in their vessels. But the 5 foolish virgins took their lamps, but they failed to take any oil. And the Bible goes on to say, at midnight a cry was made, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And those 5 foolish virgins said, they all rose and trimmed their lamps. Those 5 foolish virgins said, our lamps is out of oil. Give us of your oil. And the wise said, not so, lest they be not enough for us. Go and buy from those that have it. And while they were gone, the Bible said, the bridegroom came and took the 5 wise virgins in and shut to the door, my friend. And when the 5 foolish came back and found the door closed, they began to knock frantically upon that door. Lord, open unto us. But his reply from inside was, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, you better have more than an empty lamp when the bridegroom comes. Amen to God. I'm satisfied a lot of folks, all they have is a little religion, but they don't have any oil in their lamps. They got a religious nature, but they do not know the very God of heaven that died on the cross to save them. I won't say your empty religion will never get you into the pearly gates, friends. Somebody said, how do we be prepared? Number one, make sure you're saved. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took in their vessels, took oil in their vessels with their lamps. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Salvation is more than an empty religion. It is a, and it's, by the way, it's more than agreeing to a set of Bible facts. It's more than agreeing to a plan. Have you been through the plan of salvation? No, I've not been through the plan of salvation, but I have been to the person of salvation. I'm glad, thank God, it's not in a plan and it's not in a prayer. Son, it's in a person, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. For there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And at that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm telling you, friend, there is only one way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that cometh unto me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Son, salvation is possessing a person in your life, and that person will change your life around. And his oil tank won't run dry. Heard a preacher talking one time, and he said, I had to get out of the ministry for a while. Another fellow said, well, why'd you have to get out for? He said, my oil supply run out. I said, I didn't know God died. He said, pardon me. I said, I didn't know God died. Amen. I'm okay, something, friend. God ain't dead this morning. Yes. He is muchly alive. And if you're saved by the grace of God, He lives in you. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart this morning. Make sure you're saved, buddy. I tell you, they were all virgins, but 5 of them were foolish and had no Holy Ghost at home in their heart. The attitude. What kind of attitude? We got the right attitude, it'll be made. If we're saved, we won't worry about His coming. It'll be, make haste, my beloved. Make haste. Man's going to have to be saved. That's right. Amen. Salvation is not in an empty religion. Salvation is in possessing the Spirit of the Lord Jesus in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to tell you what I'm afraid will happen to a whole lot of people. I want you to better listen to me now. Some of you sitting in here this morning is right on the threshold of what I'm talking about. Some of you is like that fella that had a spirit living on the inside, and he kicked that devil, spread evil spirit out, and he swept and garnished his house, cleaned it all up on the inside, son. He cut his hair, got his hair just right. His wife threw out her pants she had been wearing. They threw the television out of the house, the VCR, anything else associated with Hollywood, TV, God, good housekeeping, all anything they could get their hands on, they throwed out of the house, and they swept and garnished and made it clean. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When that devil decided to come back, he got 6 or 7 more vile than him and came right back to that house that was swept and garnished and occupied it again. You know why they occupied it again? Because there wasn't nobody else living there.
Amen.
I'm telling you, friend, if all you got is cleaning up your act on the outside a little bit, your own self-righteousness, if that is all you got, if you don't have enough in your heart to have a burning, ardent desire and love for the Lord Jesus, son, you ain't got what the Bible says you ought to have in order to get to heaven. I'm telling you, there's a fire burning in my heart. Friend, and oh, yes, sir, it's the good love of God that's been shed abroad there by the Holy Ghost which was given to me.
Amen.
Amen. Be prepared.
Amen.
You must be saved.
Amen.
Come on in the house. I won't charge you nothing for this next one.
Amen.
Not only make sure you're saved, but you better make sure you're serving.
Amen.
Huh? The Bible said while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept.
Amen.
Pretty sorry report. But I'm going to tell you what the parable of the laborers in the vineyard in Matthew 20 says. That some, though he went out, husbandman went out early in the morning.
Amen.
And he hired men. And he went out again at the 9 o'clock hour, the 3rd o'clock hour rather, the 6th, the 9th, and the 11th hour.
Amen.
And hired other laborers to work in his vineyard. Somebody said, now preacher, that just simply says that they all got a penny at the close of the day, and those that had worked 1 hour got as much as those that had worked 11 hours. Oh, it says that, I won't deny it, but I'm going to tell you the main emphasis there, and I've read it, looked over it, and missed it all these years. But honey, the emphasis is not on the fact that they all got a penny. The real spiritual emphasis there is that all of them, when it come to 12 o'clock hour, were still in the harvest, working for God, still serving God. Whether they worked 11 hours or whether they worked 1 hour, they were yet serving God. I'm here to tell you, I have never in my life seen a day of when folks are laying on their bed of languish and affliction, complacent, cold on God. You can't get them to start up, my friend, but to serve God in the hour that we're living in. You better look at the times. He said, you better be a-watching. You better be a-waiting. And I'm going to tell you, we're a-watching and waiting. We'll be like Nehemiah. We'll be a-working with one hand with a trowel in it and a sword in the other, keeping our eye on the enemy with the left eye and looking into the eastern sky with our right one.
Amen.
I'm going to ask some of you something. You did run well. Who did hinder you? I didn't say what hindered you. I said who hindered you. You're doing good for a while. As my daddy said, you petered out. What happened to you? You run out. You're like the five foolish virgins, my friend. That oil, that little bit of oil, you never had to begin with, run out in your life. They all slumbered and slept. That is right. And the fact of the slumbering and the sleeping means that they were anywhere in their spiritual condition from nodding. That's what slumber means, to nod. They were nodding. They were anywhere from the recliner to the bed in full nightgowns.
Amen.
Slumbering and sleeping. Nodding in the recliner and asleep in the bed. Oh, may God help us.
Amen.
I don't believe anybody like that would be too excited about Jesus coming again.
Amen.
don't know about you, Miss Ruth. I'm excited about seeing my Lord. Hallelujah to God. I'm excited about going home. I can't wait to lay eyes upon Him who redeemed me by His wonderful grace. Loved me with such a great love, as Brother Wayne said, that He would lay down His life a sacrifice. Can I give you all this? Hallelujah to God. Brother Wayne won't mind. I don't think. They skinned that little old sacrifice. Skinned it. Offered the sacrifice whole as a burnt offering upon the altar. But the skins they didn't. You know why? Because He gave Himself, His soul. When God saw the travail of His soul, He was satisfied. He gave all that He had. His all He gave for you and I on the altar. But those skins, those little old coats of skin, are something can be seen with the naked eye. That's His righteousness. And that's what He clothed us in, friend. Oh, yes, His righteous life clothed us. We ought to be excited about seeing Him. You know why? Because when we see Him, we're going to see Him like He is. Now, I'll get there in just a minute. Preparation. Make sure you save. Make sure you're serving. I want to say thirdly, make sure you're stirred. What would y'all do if I'd done that for 45 minutes?
Amen.
On the houseboat here.
Amen.
Let me read you something. Make sure you're stirred. Verses 6 through 8, and at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, I'm going to tell you what that tells me, friend. That tells me if the foolish, if their lamps had gone out, the wise was still a-burning. Yay, man to God! Somebody said, preacher, as the fire went out, no, sir, son, it might have flickered every now and then. But I thank God the fire has never gone out. Oh, no, I'm still just as stirred in my heart as I ever was. Somebody said, preacher, you're slowing down. That's God. Wait till you get 55 years old and contaminated with Parkinson's disease and see how well you run the eyes. But I'd say one thing, I've still got more life about me than some of you young bucks sitting in here. Great God, some of you going. You want your ninny bottle? I'm talking about being stirred for God. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad I've got oil in my lamp, son. That oil of the Holy Ghost is yet burning. I'm stirred in my soul today about His coming. He is coming again. You better not put that in your mouth. You might get Parkinson's on that, boy. Too late. I don't think God would let the preacher contaminate him. I'll just be honest. I don't think God would let anybody in this church contaminate anybody else in this church.
Amen.
When I was a boy, us at home, we was all in one family. We all crawled around all over the same floor.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, if there's a piece of chicken fell on the floor, you know what we done with it? Picked her up, brushed her off, and ate it. You better believe it. It may be a month before I got another piece of chicken. It may be 3 weeks till we got bologna. Hey, God ain't going to let these little babies in here get contaminated with some of us. My goodness to gracious. That's right. I was standing up here one night, and that little old boy of Alan Camplin's. Standing there, and they had to hold him around. That boy said, son, he shot a stream of puke that long all over me. I just kept on preaching.
Amen.
Somebody said, did it stink? Does a bear like honey? Sure it stunk.
Amen.
But it didn't kill me.
Amen.
I had Benny up over my head one day playing when he was a little baby. He done worse than that.
Amen.
Asked my wife, didn't he, baby? And guess what? I was a talking right big with my mouth real open when it happened. I'm yet alive.
Amen.
ain't going to hurt that boy. Amen. But I get back to my text and quit meddling. Is there any oil in your vessel? And if there is, have you trimmed your wick? And is your lamp burning brightly? Have you trimmed the wick? Get the old burnt charred mess off of it and let that oil of the Holy Ghost burn in your heart brightly to God. For you are the light of the world. Set that light on the candlestick that all that are in the house might be able to have some light and see. Come to church with your life burning. Amen. That's right. I wrote down there, keep the fire burning. I like that old song with Chuck Wagon. Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. We better go. I'm going to tell you what Paul done. When they got down there on that island of Miletus, when they shipwrecked. I wish I had some firewood in here. They got down there at the island of Miletus, and Paul said it was cold and raining, and some of them sorry critters sat around like some of y'all sitting in here this morning. Amen. Too sorry to go get a stick of stove wood and put it on the fire.
Yes.
Old Paul said, praise God, I'll chunk up this fire.
Amen.
He threw a piece of wood on the fire, praise God.
Amen.
Went back down in the woods, found another tad bit, prayed a little while, and got a little bit of the Holy Ghost. Put another little bit of wood on the fire, and the fire began to burn real bright. And he said, well, praise God, some of them still sitting there. They too sorry and lazy. Bless God, they wouldn't do anything for God. I'll go get another piece of wood, put another block of wood on the fire. And I'm telling you, and he just kept on hunting. And he carried that last stick of wood and laid it on the fire. And the snake, the devil, said, that's about all the fire I'm going to put up with. And he come out of the flame and latched on Paul's hand. And that crowd said, look at him. He's a murderer. The sea didn't kill him. So what I'll do, we'll just watch this. That vengeance is still on him. That leper, that venomous beast has lit on his hand. That old serpent, the devil. Paul looked at that thing for a little while. Shook her back off in the fire. I tell you, we'll get a fire burning around this place, son. Yeah, we can shake the devil off into the heat of the fire. And by the way, only through the heat of the fire will it come out. Don't tell me the devil is bothering us. We're too stinking cold and indifferent and dead for the devil to be bothering us. It's our own flesh that is bothering us. We need to get the dead of fire, build a bonfire for God, son, and let the devil come out and shake him back off.
Amen.
Set him back. I don't want to break my fool neck to man. I'm in too old for this kind of stuff. Preaching like a novice. Ought to be preaching like I got gray hair in my head. But I'm like Harold Sattler. I can't stay. I can't hold it back when I get stirred.
Amen.
Whew. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our attitude ought to be right. If our attitude's right, let's be prepared in our heart. I want to say, secondly, let's be purified in our life.
Yes.
Somebody said, I knew he'd get on that. Well, sure. You don't think you can face him with sin in your life? Bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, malice, jealousy, envy, pride. You can't face God and be right with all that mess in your heart.
Amen.
Contrariness, bullheaded. I want to face God like that. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Old Brother John said, First John, beloved, now, right now, not tomorrow, but right now, Brother Steve, are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. I thought he was coming back without sin.
Amen.
Full of holiness and righteousness.
Amen.
We're going to be like Him. Come on in here now, listen up. We're going to be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man, come on now, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. In other words, every man that has this hope in him, what hope? Of seeing Him and being like Him. Will purify himself. You know what that word purify means? It's deep. It means to be clean. Hey, if we've got hope, hope will purify. And that hope will purify because of His appearing. The Bible said when He shall appear. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If we really believe, we're going to have to face God. Come on now, y'all's laughing and giggling, cutting that while going with carrying wood. What's wrong now? Well, I did get on chewing tobacco and smoking cigarettes and watching television and playing baseball and football and basketball and hobnobbing with the wrong people. Yeah. A whole bunch of other things, too. For every man that hath this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. In other words, son, we, like it said in the book of Revelation, the bride hath made herself ready. Now don't leave me. We'll have to face Him, friend. We'll have to give an account of ourselves before God. But I like this, and somebody, y'all try to just smile at me a little bit, will you? Hope purifies, and it purifies because of His appearing. But secondly, it purifies because of His appearance.
Amen.
Not just His appearing, but His appearance. John goes on to say, for we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
We'll see Him as He is. I'm like Brother Smith said this morning, I'm not a Hebrew or a Greek scholar. But that little old word, see Him, that phrase, see Him as He is, means to gaze. With the eyes wide open. That's something remarkable. Oh, won't you hear what Miss Aaron said on me? Son, I tell you, when our eyes behold Him, we are going to see something remarkable.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I wrote it down in my book like this. We're going to gaze upon something with eyes wide open. I said, praise God. When the trumpet sounds and He descends in the cloud, I'm going to tell you what it'll be, Brother Douglas. It will be an eye-opening experience.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You ever seen anything that really caught your eye?
Amen.
Them fellas sat in there and look at that monitor screen in the day. And that big piece of cherry cheesecake will come on there. And them two boys will say, oh. Ooh. Big hamburger come on there the other day and had grease run out of it. Brother Steve said, oh, look at the grease. I look at them waterfalls and say, oh, there's something remarkable.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, Miss Kim, when we see Him,
yes, amen.
And we're going to see Him as He is.
Amen.
You're talking about an eye-opening experience.
Yeah.
Oh, John said, I was on the earth, which is called Patmos.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why we never see Him. John said, and was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's why we don't see Him as He is. We're very seldom in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He said, I heard a voice behind me that sounded like the voice of many waters. And get this, he said, I turned to see the voice. See the voice?
Amen.
He said, one, lo. He said, there stood one with hair as white as wool.
Amen.
We're going to see Him as the Ancient of Days, ladies and gentlemen. As the first. Does that get a hold of you? That we're going to see Him as He has been, is, shall always be in all eternity. As the eternal God who never had a beginning. That's good preaching, Brother Hall. Why don't you bark and worship a while? Hallelujah to God, son. We're going to see the Ancient of Days, the same one Daniel saw in his running, John saw on Patmos. We're going to see in that wonderful day. Make haste, O eternal one, and come quickly. He said He had eyes like fire. The judge of all the earth, gentlemen, has just showed up. And feet like fine brass. Not just brass, but fine brass. You know what the eyes and those feet tell me? That the judge of all the earth has done been judged, tested, and tried, and He's fine brass. He's worthy of judgment because He's been judged. And found without spot and without blemish before God. And we're going to see Him as He is. Some of you should have shouted on that one. That word means to excite admiration and wonder. Remarkable does. It means to excite admiration and wonderful. It means something that deserves particular notice. Something that excites admiration and wonder. I remember one time we was in there doing a marathon. And I'm not one to excite. I don't wonder and amazement. But there's a fellow come in there from down around Crawford somewhere. And he said, I come in here to see Brother Gary Hall. And I said, sir, I'm Pastor Hall. And he said, well, I'll be dipped in mud. He said, I thought you'd weigh 300 pounds. No. You know what? He saw something that amazed him. He was looking for something, for somebody that he didn't expect to see them like they were.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can't imagine in your mind the glory. No wonder that little old bride said, make haste, O thou that is full of all the glory of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Glory! 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 Hallelujah. If we're going to purify, first thing we do is get our glasses on. Do nothing contrary or knowingly. Do nothing contrary knowingly to the Scriptures.
Amen.
Secondly, do nothing that defiles your conscience.
Amen.
Thirdly, bathe daily in the labor, the Word of God.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
That's right, preacher.
Amen. Amen.
Have you bathed today, children?
Amen.
Fourthly, thirdly, let us be prayerful in spirit.
Amen.
Luke 18:1 said, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint.
Amen.
That's the parable of the unjust judge. And it was given as an encouragement to pray at His appearing, or as His appearing draws nigh. For He said in verse number 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth.
Amen.
Our prayer life, gentlemen, is indicative of our faith.
Amen.
That little old widow just kept going to that judge. He said, I don't fear God and I don't fear man, but He said, I'm tired of that woman. God has nobody to fear.
That's right.
You wait. How long is that bone machine here? One. Is he crawling yet? Walk in. That's wonderful. Come out here and stand up, Brother Robert. Now you're going to shake me off for a while. Joseph, Daddy's busy. Joseph, son, not right now. Go on, pour a plum off of you, sir. What are you going to do if that boy just keeps doing that? You're going to reach down there and pick him up, ain't you?
Amen.
Oh, yes!
Amen.
What are you going to do when Lukey just keeps pulling on you? You're going to reach down there and pick him up. He just keeps saying, Daddy. You wait till he pulls, but you wait till he starts pulling and saying, Dad, Dad. Dad, Dad. Dad, Dad.
Amen.
By the Spirit we cry, Abba.
That's right.
Father.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. He said, I tell you, I will avenge my elect. Yes, son, I know you're down there, Dad. He'll get you in a minute. He ain't going away.
Amen.
He is not going. Does he go away, Mitchell? He ain't going away. That's the point. We don't go away. Father.
That's right.
Father.
Amen.
Father.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble. It's me again, Lord. Hey.
Yeah.
Down here. It's me again, Lord. In his mind, he's saying, he thinks I don't see him. And he thinks I don't hear him. He said, just let him keep on knocking. For if he knocks after a while, I'll answer.
Amen.
And if he keeps on seeking, guess what he's going to find?
Amen.
And if he goes on knocking, guess what? A door. God said, I saw a door open in heaven.
Amen.
Woo! And a voice like a trumpet. Glory to God saying, come up hither. And if we knock in these last days long enough, there'll be a door open and a trumpet cries, come up hither for the day of the wrath of God has come. And I have avenged you, and we're going to sit down for 7 years and I'm going to recompense you. That's what that parable talks about. What a God. What a God. No wonder she had walked with him all them years. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? Because my heart yearns for him. You're known. You're known for this same Jesus who you've seen taken up. Yes. Don't come in like manner as you've seen him go away.
Yes.
But until then, let your heart keep on singing. Until then, we're pilgrims.
Yes.
Let your heart keep on singing.
Yes.
Keep on walking with him. And a talking with him.
Yes.
And a praying to him and worshiping him and a
yes.
praising him. Just keep on
yes.
talking to your Lord.
Amen.
For he's coming again.
Yes.
He's coming again.
Hallelujah.
And then lastly,
hallelujah.
Our attitude will let us be patient in our waiting. Don't blow out too soon.
Amen.
Don't give up, weary pilgrim.
Amen.
No, don't. Oh, I have a hard time. I'll be like that. Some of them fellas, she's got them big bands around her head with her glasses fastened on. I just drop them down around my neck. If I did, somebody call me secretary and say I look like a woman. Mark 13:34-37. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left his house. make haste. He left his house.
Amen.
Gave authority to his servants. And to every man his work.
Amen.
And commanded the porter to watch.
Amen.
Watch him, preacher. You've been commanded. I'm going to be kind to you if it's Bill Nolan to be like this. And he commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping.
Amen.
And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch.
Amen. Amen.
You know what I wrote at the bottom of it? Same thing John Gill wrote in his book. Find us. The Song of Solomon. It's called.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Finished. The question remains, what will we do with what's been declared? It being finished is the attitude of our hearts, as hers was. Make haste. Oh, please, make haste, my beloved. Be thou as to a young roe, or to a young heart, upon the mountains of spices. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you've given into my trust the book of Solomon to preach to your people. Lord, I've tried my best to lead them along as you've given instruction, for knowing that the day is approaching and even is upon us now, that the husband that's entrusted his vineyard to us will soon come in like manner. Bless thy people with grace. Comfort their hearts with hope. Stir up their spirit by your spirit. And help us, I pray, with expectant hearts to lift up our soul unto him that gave it. For to thee it shall return some glorious day. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.